I remember on Good Friday, we had a login program, and we had another fun. And besides remembering what Jesus Christ did for us, we had a wonderful fellowship together. And one of the reasons that we had another fun was that we had a game called Scavenger Hunt. And I didn't know what that was before the login program, but now I know well what that is. Probably some of the adults sitting here don't have a clue what is a scavenger hunt. I have the privilege to be part of the younger group so that I learn. Scavenger is an animal that will try to look for dead and rotting flesh or fragments of those discarded rotting dead flesh for food. But in this game, we were not looking for anything that is dead or rotting, but actually a lot of good stuff. And let me see, is Jennifer here? I want to appreciate Jennifer for coordinating that game. Maybe I want you to explain what that game is about in just 1 minute, all right? Don't be nervous that one day you will need to stand up and speak to people and share with people about God.
Yeah.
Well,
how do you play it?
You have a list of certain items that you have to find, and you have a group, and you have a period of time that you have to find it in, and whoever has the most items, the most points, wins. Mm-hmm. So that's pretty much the game.
Okay.
Thanks, Jennifer. Very clear.
Mm-hmm. Let's give her a hand. For organizing the game and gave us a lot of fun. Let us play scavenger hunt now. Alright? But in order to maintain order, I want to take one representative from my left hand side and another representative from my right hand side, and I would give you something to look for in the sanctuary, but I will only give you 1 minute. But you can get your group members to be your advisors. They can put up their hand and you'll go to that person, and that person will whisper to your ears and tell you that thing that might be what I want you to look for. Alright? I want a volunteer from each side, just one. The left hand side. Who will be the brave one? Okay, we only have 1 minute for that. Okay? Tell everybody your name.
Oh, my name is Michael
Liu. Okay, Michael Liu. And how about this side?
Jeff
Liu. Okay, the new family will be the battle. Okay, now stand up and come out. And what I want you to look for is the best thing in the sanctuary and the worst thing in the sanctuary. You might have an idea already. Be observant, just give you 1 minute to look around.
Wait, the best thing in the sanctuary?
Yes, the best thing in the sanctuary and the worst thing in the sanctuary. If you put up your hand, then Michael, you can go to Jeffrey, and Jeff, you can go to whoever and give you a hint. Let the game start. Go, 1 minute. Whisper, okay? You don't want the other group to know it. I see a hand there. See convenience?
Hey, just go, you're good.
20 seconds left. You better speed up. Got it already? 10 seconds left.
Got it.
Any last minute hint? Yeah, time is up. Good. Thanks for keeping the time for me, Jeffrey. Okay, my left hand side. Jeffrey, what have you found is the best part? Jeff.
Jeff.
It's the best thing in the sanctuary. And what is the worst?
I got the Bible is the best thing, and the worst thing is your tongue.
Okay. Okay. Could you explain a little bit? Why is the Bible the best thing and the tongue is the worst thing?
Because the Bible teaches you how to live a life that God wants you to live. And then the tongue is like the complete opposite. It tries to destroy your life. And it's like the complete opposite.
Okay.
And it's your sermon. So that's bonus.
Michael.
The Bible is the best thing and
okay. Why is the Bible the best thing? If you have some different thoughts than Jeff, then you can tell us. Mm-hmm. How about money? Why is money the worst thing? Without money, you can't even have clothes.
Bibles are free.
Okay. Thanks for participating and having fun. We're God's people. We are supposed to be joyful, okay? If you, there's no smile on your face, I wonder if you are really God's people, okay? Let me tell you about something that happened long ago, very similar to this. There was a king who sent two clowns on a quest, on a trip, to look for something for him. He said, "Foolish Simon, go and bring me the best thing in the world. And you, silly John, go and bring me the worst thing in the world." Both clowns were back very soon, and they had with them two packets. Simon bowed low and respectfully smiled and said, "Caesar, the best thing in the whole world." His package contained a tongue. And John laughed and quickly unwrapped his bundle. "The worst thing in the world, sir, and not a tongue." A tongue. The tongue indeed can be the best thing that God has ever given you besides God's word, and it can be the worst thing. This group said that the tongue is the worst thing, but you can also bring good things from the tongue. Next time I share with you why the tongue can be the best thing that God has ever given you. I think life is really hard. Life is hard because there are enough stresses from school, from work, from your family. It is already hard enough. And yet, some people will say things to make your life harder. They say things that you will never forget. They will say things that's so hurtful, many years after you still remember it. Let me ask you, has anyone ever said something that's so hurtful that you still remember and is still having an influence on you? Has anyone ever said that 你将来一定会没有出息,你再不用功读书? Chinese people, nice negative reinforcements. They will try to say that if you don't do this, you'll be really, really bad. If you don't study hard, there's no future for you. I can see that there's no future for you. And then, out of fear, we'll do things. But often after even we have accomplished what we, our parents wanted us to accomplish, out of fear, we are still living in fear, and we transfer the fear to our future kids. I don't think that's the best way to encourage, to help someone to be what they should be, according to God's design. And you definitely don't want to be hurt, to be insulted by people because they said something hurtful to you. And you definitely don't want to be the person to add to the pain that some people are already having. That's why Proverbs chapter 13 verse 3 said that he who guards his lips guards his life. But he who speaks rashly, thoughtlessly, impulsively, violently will come to ruin or trouble. Trouble for other people and trouble for themselves. Today we'll look at Proverbs. And we'll see four kinds of talk that makes the tongue the worst thing in the whole world. These four things are summarized by E-V-I-L, evil. We're going to talk about four kinds of evil thoughts that we should try to avoid. At the same time, if someone evil talks to you, how we should respond, what we should do so that we would not be hurt. What does evil stand for? E-V-I-L. Think about it. The first evil talk stands for enticing talk. Proverbs chapter 22 verse 14 says that the mouth of an adulteress. Who is an adulteress? Jesse.
Someone who commits
adultery. I beg your pardon? Louder?
Someone who commits adultery.
Okay. What is adultery?
I'm not
Okay, marrying someone else. Remarriage is not considered adultery if that person remarried according to the only reason that Jesus Christ announced, the Bible announced, that's not considered adultery. Okay? David?
It's sort of like if you have a wife, and while you have your wife, you don't like somebody else.
Okay, you like somebody else, and that person will be an adulteress, right? And you will be. What did you say? And you will be an adulterer. Okay, so let me explain. Actually, you guys already got it. You guys understand who is an adulteress, and who is an adulterer. According to the Bible, women who have sexual relationships with a married man is considered an adulteress. Or maybe this is a married woman who has sexual relationship outside her own marriage relationship. This is also an adulteress. So according to God's will, sexual relationship is only between a man and a woman in a marriage relationship. What will happen in a marriage? After people have gotten married, when I was a kid, I often wondered, what happened exactly? And then people would be pregnant and then they would give birth to kids. So, but just letting you know, when people get married, they have sexual relationships, they will have kids. That's why you're here, alright? Because your parents got married. And then something happened. Okay? In God's eyes, it is a sin to have sexual intercourse with anyone outside the marriage relationship, including before marriage. You already have sexual relationship with your schoolmate, but it's before marriage. Okay? So God also hates premarital sex. It's a sin, but we can always repent and ask for God's forgiveness if you have committed that. Let me ask you, how does the adulteress cause man to fall into her trap? Because here it says that the mouth of an adulteress is a deep pit. It's like a trap. He who is under the Lord's wrath will fall into it. Think about what an adulteress does that would cause man to fall into her trap. Is that a hand, David? Okay. According to here, it is the mouth of an adulteress. Of course, an adulteress does some other things. She uses words to deceive you that nobody will find out about it. It's okay. It will make you the happiest man on earth to be with her. She might also say things to make you feel that she is the only person in the whole world who appreciates you. This works very well to those underappreciated men. Especially in the marriage relationship, if the wife keeps saying that You're no good. Why have I married you? If you say that for too long, and a woman comes along and say, "Wow, you're my hero. You're so talented. I really appreciate you." Guess what? I think it might start an adultery. And then when the man falls into the trap, what happens to the man? The man will often be willing to give a lot of money to this woman to make this woman happy. Lots of money. Some adulterers will even blackmail the man out of evil intentions. I've heard of stories that while the adulteress was having a sexual relationship with the man, there was a video camera hidden, and they recorded the whole thing and then used this to blackmail the man to give more money in the future. But otherwise, the adulteress would tell the whole world about what happened. I think even many famous people fell into the trap of an adulteress. Maybe some of these adultery are not exposed, and these men are still giving money to such a woman. That's why Proverbs chapter 22 verse 14 says that the mouth of an adulteress is a deep pit. It's a trap. But only those who are under the Lord's wrath will fall into it. Those who don't obey God, they will end up falling into the trap of an adulteress. So if you don't want to fall into the trap of an adulteress, obey God. Can you think of an example in the Bible about a man enticed, tempted, seduced by an adulteress and ended up in misery? If you're observant, I think you already know the answer. King. I saw you. I know you got it. Give me an example in the Bible. A man fell into the trap of an adulteress and ended up in misery. You look at the slide and you saw the picture. What does that remind you? You know what this is about? Daniel.
Samson and Delilah.
Samson and Delilah. Samson was greatly blessed by God. He had superhuman strength. He could do great things for God, but he did not obey God. He thought he was blessed, he had the strength, and he could just use it for his own good, selfish goals. He was a married man, and then he fell into the trap of an adulteress. What happened to him finally? This adulteress was a trap set up by the enemy of God's people, the Philistines. Because Samson was so powerful, they could not conquer him, that they had to use the trap, an adulteress. And Samson fell into the trap, telling the adulteress the secret of his strength, ending up being caught, and then his eyes being gouged out, and then finally he died miserably. Can you think of another example in the Bible in which a man was enticed by an adulteress, but he resisted and did not fall into the trap? David.
Oh, you
remember
Joseph?
Okay, Joseph. And then people mention Joseph. Okay, Joseph. I agree. Joseph is a great example. When he was enticed by an adulteress, he resisted, and he ran away. He was suffering, he was working as a slave, but he did not look down on himself. Most importantly, he trusted God. So he did not give up on himself and just do whatever, you know, would help him. It might be an opportunity in some people's eyes, because his master's wife really liked him because he was quite handsome. And according to the Bible, he was also quite well built. So the master's wife liked him and wanted to have sexual relationship with him. but he kept resisting. It's because he said he feared God. He could not do anything to offend God. And of course, he will not do anything to offend his master. Although he was wronged by this adulteress and ended up in prison, but finally, God blessed him. And he became an honored man, a man with honor and reputation. He became second to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. He was able to rescue his whole family from famine and the whole people of Egypt from famine because God gave him wisdom. Do you see such a big difference between these two men? One is great, was already greatly blessed with superhuman power, but disobeyed God, ended up in misery. Another man seemed to be in misery, in suffering, but he trusted God, and God blessed him. He became a man of honor and reputation. What a difference obedience to God makes. So I ask you not to fall into the trap of an adulteress by fearing God and by obeying God in everything, small things or bigger things. In everything you do, obey God and God will bless you. You don't want to entice God either to be an adulteress or to be an adulterer, because God will judge an adulteress or an adulterer greatly too. The second type of evil talk that we should avoid is veiled talk. According to Proverbs chapter 26, verse 24 to 25, a malicious man, a man with evil intentions, disguises himself with his lips. But in his heart, he harbors deceit, though his speech is charming, sweet, smooth talks all the time. Do not believe him. For seven abominations, the seven things that God hates, fill his heart. He is an evil man, but he will often disguise himself as a good guy with his sweet, smooth talks. So if someone sweet talk to you, smooth talk to you all the time, be careful, there might be some evil intention behind that. Can you think of an example in the Bible of a veiled talker? Think about an example in the Bible. A veiled talker. Well, who comes to your mind? A veiled talker. Smooth talk, sweet talk, but with evil intentions. Satan, the devil, right? In the desert when he tempted even the Son of God. Yes, I also thought about Satan the devil. He is a veiled talker, very good veiled talker. In the beginning of the Bible, in Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 7, it talks about how the veiled talker, Satan the devil, tempted our ancestors, Adam and Eve, into disobeying God and sinning against God. Let me read that. If you have the Bible, you can open your Bible to Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to verse 7. And I will emphasize a few verses. Verse 1, chapter 3 of Genesis. Now the serpent, Satan was controlling the serpent, using the serpent, was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say, you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it, or you will die." "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." Ah, God is hiding something good from you. It is a good thing. It's very attractive. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye, and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. She She also gave some to her husband. Thanks, Eve, for giving that to the husband. Although Adam, I believe, should also be responsible. The husband, Adam, was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Because of sin, nakedness will make people vulnerable. Initially, even though they were in nakedness, they felt secure because there was no sin. But let me ask you, why was Adam and Eve deceived by Satan's veiled talk and disobeyed God? Why? What caused them to disobey God, who loved them so much, provided all the fruit in the Garden of Eden for them to eat, to enjoy, except fruit on two trees? God warned them not to eat them, or otherwise they would die. Now it's time to think. James, what do you think? Why? Why would Adam and Eve were they deceived by Satan? Satan's and the veiled talk. Despite the fact that God loved them so much. They wanted more greed. That's right. Okay? In my preparation, I didn't think about this, but this is good. Greed. Actually, there's a Chinese word that explains why Eve took the fruit and ate it. In Chinese, there's a word that is two trees on the top. Below that, that is a woman. That means greed. How can you explain that? Nan, tan nan de nan, two trees and one woman below it, stretching out the arm to get the fruit. You're right. Greed, because they wanted more. They were not happy, content with what God already gave them, the best they could get already. I think Satan caused our ancestors to disobey God because he made disobeying God so attractive and so much fun. Let's disobey God, it's fun. There will be no bad consequences. Let's just do whatever we want. As a result, they were blinded by the fact that God already gave everything that they needed. The consequence of that is that they indeed died, not immediately because of God's grace, but later they died physically. And even us, we need to go to physical death, all because of what Adam and Eve did, our ancestors. Because we are one family, that's why we also suffered. And whoever is not willing to trust God, in the only way to be saved for eternal judgment, they will also suffer the second death, the eternal separation from God. That's the consequence of not trusting God, appreciating all the good things God has already given us, be greedy, discontent, and then disobey God. How can we guard ourselves against those veiled talkers in our life? Smooth talkers, weak talkers, we really want to listen to them more because then their talks make us feel good about ourselves. I would suggest that you measure whatever that sweet talker is speaking with God's word to see if that's true or if that's false. If it is not true, be careful when you are with that person. Because that person can tempt you to disobey God and do things that have severe consequences. They can cause you regret for the rest of your life. At the same time, as Christians, we should not just be hearers of God's word, not just knowing it. But when people trick you, did God really say that? Do you know why God say that? Is that really for your good? We need to be thinkers as Christians, to think why God has given us such commandments for our lives. As we think, we understand, we can resist those people who bear talk and mislead us from God. So the key is to trust, to understand, and to obey God's word so that you won't be deceived by the veiled talker. Do not veil talk yourself either, because you will also be severely judged by God as a veiled talker, as Satan would receive the most severe judgment in hell. The third kind of evil talk, now we know E stands for enticing talk, V for veil talk. What is I? I stands for insulting talk. According to Proverbs chapter 15 verse 1, a gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. A harsh word arouses rather calms down anger. Can you think of an example of harsh words? Give me some examples, Jennifer. Huh? I beg your pardon? Oh, I mean, saying that you are fat. Okay, that's a harsh word. Okay, Jesse.
Liar.
Liar. We'll talk about that later. Or saying that you are a liar. But if you eat a liar, okay, but still, that's harsh to hear. Okay, David. Put up your hand if you have something to say, alright? Okay? Thanks for your participation. I thought about, all those are examples of harsh words, okay? That does not build up people, that tears people apart, makes them feel they are worthless, valueless. And yet, according to God's word, everyone is equally valuable because we were all created in the image of God. Who are you to tell me that I have no value because I am fat, because I cannot speak well in public, or whatever. God still loves you. So, don't feel bad when someone insults you. But I thought about profanity and swearing. These are also examples of harsh talk. When I was working out in the fitness center here in Baton Rouge, one thing that made me uncomfortable was that I was surrounded by guys who would speak profanity in every sentence that they spoke. They just have to add those words. When I worked in a Chinese restaurant before, my coworkers used profanity also in every sentence that they spoke in Chinese. Some of them used more than one word. Someone said that profanity is a public announcement of stupidity. Swearing is a careless man's way of trying to be emphatic. Isn't that true? When you speak profanity, you are saying that actually you're stupid. When you swear, it's because you're careless. You have to use those swearing to emphasize what you speak. Someone who is smart, someone who is careful, do not have to use profanity and swearing and still make a strong point. Actually, that's often more convincing than using profanity. Who wants to be surrounded by people who speak profanity all the time? Who wants to be with someone so closely that person speaks profanity to you all the time, insulting you face to face all the time? What if I was surrounded by people who spoke profanity? I refrained from doing that myself. And the manager of that restaurant was amazed that he had never met a guy in the restaurant who worked there who never spoke profanity. Why all my coworkers kept talking to me in profanity, I just did not say any word of profanity. He was amazed. I suggest that you also refrain from speaking profanity and swearing. When someone speaks that to you, just be quiet. Pray for the power to forgive that person if that person is using such words to insult you. Because the power of forgiveness is from God. It is a superhuman power. Only God can give you. True forgiveness is from God. You know what? Whenever that person says blah 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 to insult you with profanity and swearing, say God bless you. God bless you. Actually, from our Sunday school, we went through that passage. Whenever someone speaks profanity in your heart, actually you can say it. Bless you. God bless you. Well, that person will be shocked. I speak profanity to you and yet you bless me? Because the Bible in 1 Peter chapter 3 verse 9, they said, do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult, but with blessing. That means bless you. God bless you. Because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing. Those people who are willing to obey God, even bless someone who insults him, will be blessed by God. If that person is your friend, you want to help that person, you probably can say this. If that person wonders why you are so quiet, not speaking, and even saying, oh, bless, God bless you, God bless you, whenever you hear profanity, that person will ask, why are you so quiet, or why would you bless me? You can say that it makes me uncomfortable hearing profanity. Just be honest. And I found out that you don't have to make an emphasis using profanity or swear, because your speech is actually more convincing without using those words. It proves that you are smart and careful. That's why you don't have to use those words. Besides, I learned from the Bible that God asks us to bless those who insult us. Try this. I think you might help someone to know God. Lastly, the last type of evil talk is lying talk. Proverbs chapter 26 verse 28 says that a lying tongue pays those it hurts, and a flattering mouth works ruin. People who lie are actually hateful, according to Proverbs 26 verse 28. They decide to harm others by slandering their reputation, ruining, damaging other people's reputations by a lie that is not true. And people who often say good things to you, be careful. They might be saying this to achieve some selfish and dishonest goals that will bring ruin either to you or to himself later. Someone said that what upsets me is not that you lied to me, but that from now on I can no longer trust you after I realize that you have lied to me. You lied to someone, it's found out, that person might never trust you again because he knows that you are a liar. Another wise person said that a lie has no legs. It requires other lies to support it. Tell one lie and you are forced to tell others. Other lies to back it up. As a result, you become someone who speaks lies all the time. That's it.
I have heard of a saying that says a lie can travel through half the world while the truth hasn't even spread yet.
Yeah, I think there's wisdom in that, because people often would spread rumors that are often lies, but people in their sinfulness, they don't like truth. Truth convicts, truth tells them that they are wrong, they want to be their own God, that's why they don't spread truth. But as Christians, we are the messenger of truth. While nobody else who are in their sinfulness are willing to carry God's truth around the world, we should. Do you agree, Debbie?
Nay.
Okay, think about that. As reported in USA Today, each of us tell white lies, harmless, small lies, at least 50 times a day. He explained that we lie about our age, our income, or our accomplishments, sometimes exaggerating that to make ourselves look good. And we use lies to escape embarrassment. A common reason for little white lies, we're told, is to protect someone else's feelings. I tell this lie to help you, to protect you. Actually, it's often that they are trying to protect themselves. Here are some examples of what might see if you have said that before. I wasn't feeling well. That's why I did that. I didn't want to hurt your feelings. The check is in the mail. Somebody is asking. I still haven't received the check. Where is the check? Oh, the check is in the mail. And then you probably will go mail it. I was just kidding. We often want to cover up something that we have said that's offensive by saying, it's just kidding, it's just kidding. In your heart, you know that you were not kidding. So that is a lie. Or, I was only trying to help. How can we tell that someone is lying? How can we tell someone is lying to you? Maybe to a bad liar, not proficient, skilled liar, it's not too hard to find out. But some people are really good at lying. They have become expert in lying. It's really hard to tell whether they are lying sometimes. Here are some of the signals of lying. Increased blinking and pupil dilation. A facial expression not matching with what is being said. Watch their body language, okay? Sometimes words are deceiving.
3, they hurriedly change the subject.
Okay, thanks. Jesse, for shorter sentences, more speaking pauses and making errors, or using more negative words and extreme words. That is you, maybe ask that person to take a lying test, you know? There are machines that can detect, lying detectors. God hates lies. Why do I say so? According to John chapter 8, verse 42 to 44, Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I came from God, and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is the liar and the father of lies. Satan, the devil, is the father of lies. Are you the child of God, or are you the child of Satan? Who is a child of God? Are the rest the children of Satan? Actually, when you put up your hand, that might not be as revealing as whether you speak truth in your life. If you don't speak truth, you lie, I'm afraid, since Satan is the father of all liars, then you might be the son of Satan, child of Satan. So that's why it's so important that as believer of Jesus Christ, as Christians, we not lie. Because when we lie, we're admitting that we are children of Satan, the father of liars. We can learn how to be wise, to tell whether someone is lying, and besides, we're not lying ourselves. Let me conclude. To avoid evil talk, we need to trust, to understand, and to obey God's word. We need to trust first, and then understand, and also obey God's word. How can we identify evil talkers in our life? Listen carefully when someone speaks. Observe someone on different occasions for a period of time. Because there's a Chinese common saying that says that, 路遥知马力, 日久知人心. It says that, how can you tell if a horse has endurance? Let the horse run for a long distance and you'll be able to tell. How can you tell someone's heart? Give it time, you will know what is in that person's heart. So, to be able to know someone, whether that person is evil in his heart, be observant, spend time with that person, If you know that person is an evil talker and that person's heart is filled with evil, be careful. You can help such a person, you can pray for such a person, but if that person is not receiving the help and you might actually be influenced by the evil, I would say you keep a distance from such people because you might be harmed by them. That's my advice to you. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we call you Father because you are holy, because you are righteous. Forgive us, because although sometimes we call you Heavenly Father in our talks, we often act like we are the children of Satan. Satan who entices, Satan who hide, veil his evil intentions. Satan insults, Satan who is the father of liars. I just pray that you will forgive all our sins. We're saved by grace, but you don't want us to continue to live in sin, but we live for righteousness. We know in our own sinfulness, although we are saved by grace, we still are not able to meet your perfect standard of righteousness. That's why you have given us the Holy Spirit. Through prayer and continual reading and meditating and doing God's word, we are able to live by the Holy Spirit, and then we will be able to live for righteousness. I just pray that you give us wisdom, help us to watch out for those people who evil talk. Give us wisdom how to help them, and how to keep a distance if that person cannot be helped. I just pray that in everything that we say, we reflect who really is our Heavenly Father. Our prayer is in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.